Be seated. Hallelujah. See some new faces in here tonight. Let me tell you right now, since you haven't seen you before, you come here looking for a good preacher, go home. You ain't going to find one. No good preachers in this tent. No pretty ones either. Amen?
Amen.
We're here to celebrate Jesus Christ, not a man. Right? God's good.
Amen.
The rest of us, we just trying hard to pretend to be good. And we can't come close because he's the only good one.
Amen.
They tell us in preacher school, don't tell people you're a sinner. So the first thing I do when new people come in the tent, say, hey, I'm a sinner. So if that bothers you, find you a preacher that's not. And when you find them, let me know. I ain't found one. Amen?
Amen.
This whole revival is about crossing over River Jordan. It's about coming out of the desert and going off into the promised land and conquering.
Amen.
In the desert is death. The promised land is life.
Amen.
God said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, for Israel is my firstborn. Those people that came out of Egypt is God's firstborn. Amen? And they came into that desert. Now, if there's a firstborn, there's got to be another born. You know, at least it has to be at least one more born. You can't have a first without something else. Now, you can say only begotten, and that would be first. But it's not first if it's only begotten, because first says there's somebody coming afterwards. Amen? Ricky was my firstborn. That one right there. When people said, is that your only child? Yeah, that's my only child. I didn't say, he's my firstborn. I didn't plan on her. She wasn't planned. Her mother told me she couldn't have any more children.
Here I am.
God just chuckled. Said, I'm going to get you both. And he blessed us. Amen?
Amen.
But when I had Ricky, or my wife had him, I just kind of stood by and watched. When I had Ricky, I didn't know he was my firstborn. I thought he was my only born. Amen?
Yep.
But see, God foreknew. That's why he told Moses to say, Israel is my firstborn. Now, I have found a very interesting thing. I haven't been preaching that long. I've only been preaching about 28 years. And I'm just now starting to learn something. In my first 5 years, I thought I knew it all. Really thought I knew something. But I find that after you get past that first 5 years, you begin to realize how dumb you are and how much you have to rely on God. I remember years ago, I'm sitting there, I had a big pile of study books. And I'm reading these study books. The Lord said, Richard, what are you doing? Now, I thought that was a silly thing for the Lord to say to me. I said, well, I'm reading these books, Lord. Why? I said, well, I want to find out what they knew about you. He said, why don't you read the book they read? I said, well, what book was that? That's the truth. It took me two weeks to figure out what he was talking about. He never did answer me on that one. I could just see God just shake his head and said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. He was talking about this book.
Amen.
Huh? People have been trying for years to get me to write books, haven't they, son? They've been trying to get me to write books. I said, what do I need to write a book for? God wrote the best one there ever was.
Amen.
What do you need me writing a book for? I can talk about it. And I can come in here and give you what he has me to say about it. But if you take that instead of reading it, then you're a bigger fool than these people out here in the street that don't know God. Everybody ought to read that book.
Amen.
continuously. You come in this tent, you hear what I've got to say, you go home and check it out in that Bible. And if it ain't right and it doesn't agree with that book, you come in and tell me. Then I'll thank you. We'll both get it right. And if I'm right and you're wrong, I'll tell you. And if you're smart, you'll thank me. And then you'll walk away right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God said to Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, for Israel is my firstborn. That means, now let me show you, the gospel has never changed. God had this thing planned from the beginning. Before he said, let there be light, he knew what he was doing. And he made Adam, watch this, he made Adam to fall. He made him to fall. God had created man in Genesis chapter 1. Anybody ever notice that when God created man in Genesis chapter 1, one of the interesting things he said, of every tree bearing fruit, of every tree bearing fruit you may eat for food, for meat. Didn't he say that? He didn't say it to Adam over in chapter 2, did he? You know why? That guy over, those people in chapter 1, that wasn't Adam. That wasn't Adam. Adam didn't come along until chapter 2. Those people in chapter 1 were created. That man in chapter 2 was made. Created in chapter 1. Let us create man after our image, after our likeness. God created man after his own image, after his likeness created he them. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How do you replenish something that's never been before? I can just see me getting up in the morning, honey, calling my wife, honey, go replenish my cup. I'd like to think by then she'd washed that thing. And I'd gotten a fresh one. Huh? Amen. He said replenish. Why? Because to replenish means to refill, to do it again. Why? Because the earth before Adam had fallen. Because of Lucifer's sin, God had to destroy it. That's why that perfect earth in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The word created is bara. It means to create perfectly. There was nothing wrong with that first earth. But it had called, God had to destroy it because of Lucifer. Go read about it in Ezekiel 28, starting verse 12. Where, how's it go? It says, therefore, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. Go read that. That's the fall of Lucifer. He was cast down onto the earth in the sight of men. And that first heaven and that first earth was destroyed because of Lucifer's sin. And God planned, before he ever said, let there be light, to straighten the whole mess out. You ever wonder why Jesus was called the second Adam? Adam was the first made man. Jesus was the second. Adam was the first perfect man. Jesus was the second perfect man. The first perfect man was created to fall. The second perfect man was created to stand. Because if the first, because see, God knew that we could not keep his law. He knew we could not live by his standards. It's impossible for me to live by his standards. Or for you or anybody else. Though I tried. You remember that part when he was talking to the Pharisees? When he said, it is written in your law, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that he that thinketh in his heart has already committed adultery. Now, why do you think he was saying that to them? to show those arrogant Pharisees that they were just as much of a sinner as those people out there that were doing wrong. Because if you think a thing, you're as guilty of doing it, as far as God's concerned. Why is that? Because of the soul. It's what's inside. Jesus didn't die on the cross to save this body, believe it or not. He died on the cross to save our eternal soul and our spirit. And that soul and spirit, which is eternal, which is totally eternal, it lives forever, it never dies. It comes from God. That soul and spirit is what Jesus is interested in saving. And what God is interested in saving. And therefore, He let Adam come as a type and shadow of this. See? And Jesus came and obeyed God, and when He died on the cross, He was able to take all the sin that had ever been made, ever been done, and all the sin that would ever be done and committed unto Himself. So just as with Adam, as long as Adam had obeyed God, no sin and death could come upon the world. And when he disobeyed God, sin and death came upon all men and women.
Amen.
All people. Huh?
Amen.
Couldn't have been all if there hadn't been some. Isn't that amazing? Couldn't have been some if it said they come upon all the flesh. Couldn't have been any if there hadn't been all if there hadn't been other flesh. Where do you think Cain got his wife? Went over to the land of Nod. Took a wife. Where'd the land of Nod come from? People that lived there called it Nod. Gee, sometimes I wonder how people get so stupid with their theologies. So stupid with their theologies. Teaching that Adam and Eve were the first man and woman on the earth. They weren't. Now, Adam, when he prophesied that he would call his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all living, that was a future prophecy which came to pass at the flood of Noah. Because when the flood of Noah came, the only flesh left alive was Adam and Eve. All the other was destroyed. So it was a future prophecy. No, Adam was a pretty smart guy. Except he was dumb when it came to that tree. And he ate that tree and he fell, and because of his fall, sin and death came on everyone, and that's fair. Because by Jesus' obedience, God can take it off everyone.
Amen.
And that's fair.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? But there's a condition. We have to accept God's terms. And you notice in the Bible it's always talking about peace. Paul says, let the peace of our God, which passes all understanding, you know. He says, grace be unto you and from God our Father and peace from the Lord Jesus. You know, all of this peace. You go out here in the world and you ask somebody, what is peace? And they say, well, it's kind of like a warm feeling. It's kind of like, oh, it's just so nice. And, wait a minute. God never promised us that. Jesus said, I promise you tribulation. Didn't he?
Yep.
He said, I promise you tribulation. Now, I don't know about you, John Squires, but I don't think tribulation is a state of peace. In fact, when I've been through tribulation, it didn't feel like peace. So I prayed about it one time. I asked God, I said, Lord, what is this peace you're talking about? And it was so simple. The peace of God is that you're no longer at war with God.
Amen.
God offered us a peace treaty, and it was signed by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And if we take the terms of that peace treaty, we'll live forever.
Amen.
And if we don't take the terms of that peace treaty, we'll die with the enemy. Now, that's been that way ever since. In the beginning, in the garden, eat the tree of life, Adam, if you want to, but don't touch the tree of knowledge. Huh?
Don't eat it.
Yeah, don't eat it. Thank you. Just checking you out, see if you're going to get me there.
No problem.
Good boy. Don't eat that tree of knowledge. Amen? He ate it. What happened? He died. Anybody know what tree of knowledge was? Tell them, Steve. The law. What's the tree of life?
Jesus.
Jesus. Never changed. Never changed. You can follow the law and stay in the desert and die. Or you can follow Jesus and go on across Jordan. Huh? That second man that was raised up under Joshua went on across and conquered. Now watch this. Cain and Abel were twins. Cain and Abel were twins. Now this is really going to rock some boats. Cain raised up and slew his brother Abel. And the truth of the matter was, Abel was Cain's half-brother. He wasn't his full brother. He was his half-brother. There's a couple reasons I know he was his half-brother, not his full brother. One was, you'll never find Cain's name listed among Adam's lineage. If Cain had been the son of Adam, I think God would have been smart enough to have it written down. Amen? And secondly, something that Jesus said to the Pharisees. The Pharisees got kind of bent out of shape with him. And they said, we have one God, even one Father, even God. We be not born of fornication because of something that Jesus had said to them. You found that, Steve? John chapter 8. Read it to them. Just that part. Get over here and grab a microphone. Come on, son. Hurry up.
Ye are your father
of the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He's speaking of the devil. Now, who was the first human murderer? Cain. The first human liar, Cain. Amen? Now, Cain rose up and slew Abel because Abel had offered a sacrifice to God that was pleasing. And God received that sacrifice. But when Cain offered his sacrifice, God didn't accept it. Why was that? He offered a cursed thing. God cursed the ground. God cursed the ground and the fruit thereof. So when Cain took the fruit of his vegetable garden and offered it on the altar, God couldn't accept it. Do you know what this body comes from? The ground. This body comes from the ground. And if you try to glorify God in this body, you're doing the same thing Cain did. There's a lot of Cains running around this planet.
Amen.
In Revelations, God calls them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. There are a lot of those people in this world.
Amen.
Jude says men that were ordained to this condemnation. They creep in unawares. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very clean and very pure, and it's simply this. That God loved you so much, Steve African, that He let His own Son die on a cross for your sins, past, present, future.
Amen.
And if you'll trust in that and believe that, then He puts some of Himself in you and hides you in Him. And when this carcass dies, He's got a new one waiting for you. Amen? Anybody ever hear that thing about no man taketh a new piece of cloth and put it on a torn old one? Because they both tear and lose the whole thing? What's he talking about? You don't take his gospel and attach it to the law, or you lose both.
Amen?
Amen? And then the other one, he said, no man taketh new wine and put it into old wineskins. Why? The old wineskin breaks, and you lose it all.
Amen.
God isn't going to put this new man in this old wineskin. He's got a new wineskin ready for it. A new wineskin. And until we receive the new wineskin in faith, we're hid in him.
Amen.
And that second man is the one that goes across.
Amen.
But we, by faith, can go across here in Jesus.
Amen.
And that brings me finally to the point. Crossing the River Jordan is simply this. It's three things. One, to take God serious.
Amen.
Two, don't take yourself serious.
Amen.
Three, believe His Word.
Amen.
Do you understand that? Do you know that no false teaching could ever be propagated if people just read that book?
Amen.
It covers the whole thing. I don't care whether the false teaching is in a Catholic church, or a Baptist church, or a Methodist church, or a Presbyterian church, or an Episcopal church, or an Assembly of God church, or Church of God, or Church of God of Prophecy church, or Foursquare, or Mormon, or Jehovah Witness, or any other that there may be that I left out. It doesn't matter. If they read this book and use this book as a standard, as God's divine inspired word, then it wouldn't matter. Somebody brought you a lie, you'd know it. You don't have to go out here and read all these different things to know what's right and what's wrong. Just read the one. Just read the one. It's like going up to Washington, D.C. and learning about money. Go to the U.S. Treasury Department and say, I want to be able to tell real money from fake. They will put you through an intensive course, and in that period of time that you're there, you will never, ever see anything but the real money. Well, at least what they call money. That paper stuff. But we won't go there today. You will never see anything but their paper money. And the purpose of it is this. If you know that well enough, then you'll spot the counterfeit.
Amen.
All right? If you study God's Word and know God's Word, when the counterfeit comes, you'll know it.
Amen.
You'll know it. So, when it says that there is no greater name than Jesus, it means it.
Amen.
And if somebody comes and tries to tell you of a greater name, what are you going to do?
Amen.
Tell them get lost. Huh?
Amen.
The gospel is Jesus died for me. And he died for you. So that you could be reconciled with God and become part of his family. And in that, you get to be part of his body.
Amen.
And as part of his body, you get to share his power and his anointing and to be his hands and feet and mouth here on this planet.
Amen.
God's church is supposed to walk in power.
Amen.
It's not supposed to be some little mealy mouth, limp-wristed wimp. My false teeth ain't working right. Try that again. Limp-wristed wimp. That's lost its identity and thinks it's a girl.
Amen.
I ain't never seen a girl in a suit of armor. That was very good at battle anyway. Armor was made for men. Amen?
Amen.
And God's armor was made for one man. God. Amen?
Amen.
And if you want to put on God's armor, you've got to be in him to put it on.
Amen.
And he is a him.
Yep.
Him is not a she.
Amen.
Him is a he.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And the church is the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of the church,
Amen.
Which is his body.
Amen.
How do they get that so confusing?
They don't know the word.
Thank you. Boy's been listening. It only took, well, how long? 29 years? But you got there.
29 and...
Well, actually 28, because I've only been working on you 28 years. Do you, anybody understand what I'm saying? Do you see it? They wonder why homosexuality is running rampant all over the country. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing can happen in the natural unless it's first accomplished in the spirit.
Amen.
It comes from the top down. It doesn't go from the bottom up.
Amen.
Spirit, then the natural. You want to kill a thing in the natural, kill it first in the spirit.
Amen.
You want to get rid of homosexual in the natural, get rid of it in the spirit.
Amen.
You want to get rid of hate in the natural, get rid of it in the spirit.
Amen.
You want to get rid of fear in the natural, get rid of it in the spirit.
Amen.
Before you can do anything in the natural, it has to first be done in the spirit. Because the spirit supersedes the natural. It doesn't do away with the natural. It simply supersedes it. It's like flying in an airplane. Most anybody's flown in an airplane. If you haven't flown in one, you've seen one fly, so you know they do fly. Very simple law of lift, law of aerodynamics. Get in the airplane, go down the runway real fast. When you get going fast enough, the wings pick you up. Sort of. It's actually the shape of the wings create a draft on the top of the wing, which creates pressure underneath the wing, and the whole thing lifts up. But you got to go fast to do that. Unless you're in a helicopter, you don't have to go fast, but the wings do. Amen? Now, when you're flying at 20,000 feet, and you're looking down saying, hee-haw, it's pretty neat up here. Hallelujah. If you ever doubt that the law of gravity is still there, just turn the engines off. And wait a few minutes. And you will find out that the law of gravity is still there. And so it is in God's kingdom. So it is in God's kingdom. The law of the spirit supersedes the law of the natural. And the law of the natural won't cease. It's just superseded. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So, you want to do a thing in the natural, you first have to do it in the spirit. And in order to conquer this thing that's going on in a country, all this stuff in government, and the homosexual stuff, and the murder, and the hatred, and all like that, you've got to get it together here. 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 Got to get it together in the spirit. And the church has got to get its identity back. The church has got to become a man again. And stop thinking it's a bride. Stop thinking it's a bride. New Jerusalem is the bride. The word of God says New Jerusalem is the bride, not the church. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Once the church gets its identity back, it gets its salt back. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Where salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Well, I look around the churches today in Christianity, and I see it thoroughly being trodden underfoot. They talk about separation of church and state. That's a laugh. There hasn't been a church separation of church and state in years. 97% of your churches in America today are state churches. Oh, Brother Usman, what do you mean by that? They're incorporated. Corporations are state creations. State creations. Not God creations. State creations. And where does the state get its authority to create these things? From the executive branch of the federal government. Wow! Now, that makes things real clear. If the federal government gives the authority to the state and it's done through the executive branch, no wonder some of these churches are so stupid out here. Bill Clinton's their head. Hello?
Amen.
Thank you. It's the truth. Preacher comes in here the other night. Lies to me. Lies to me. Looks me dead in the face. Lies to me.
Yep.
Huh? Then walks out. He was in such a hurry to get out of here, I think he walked out with my Bible. Well, I hope it does him some good. Amen?
Amen.
But he lies to me. What's the difference between him and Bill Clinton?
Not a one.
Nothing. Nothing. Bill Clinton will lie to you in a heartbeat. Most of these preachers out here lie to you in a heartbeat.
Amen.
In a heartbeat. People say, now, preacher, don't come down on the preachers. Why not? I'm a preacher. The shoe fits, wear it. They don't like it, get it right.
Amen.
Say, preacher, you rub me the wrong way. No, I don't. Turn around.
Amen.
She's like that old cat. I can't help it if his tail's in the wrong place. Turn that cat around, it'd like that petting. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God is sure, and it's swift, and it's sharp, and it doesn't lie. And if we can learn to trust God, believe God, to trust God and believe Him, let the old man die in the desert. He's going to die anyway, and nothing you can do can stop it. I remember Yul Gibbons. Anybody remember Yul Gibbons? He was a health food freak. Always advertising health foods. And Grape Nuts had him as their one of their advertisers. Or sponsors, or whatever they call it. Spokesman, thank you. Had him as a spokesman. Do you know what he died of? Stomach cancer. Ain't that a hoot? Stomach cancer. Tell me that there's not justice in this world. Stomach cancer. I knew an old guru years and years and years ago. And he had the secret of eternal life was food, herbs, and meditation. And I think he also believed wearing rags because he had rags on him. But you know what? A city bus in Orlando put a stop to that theory real quick. And I looked at that and I said, there's a flaw in this man's teaching. The bus killed him. Now, if he'd been telling the truth, he'd have bounced off the bus. The bus would have died. You just see the bus. Four tires, flat, die, and him walk on across the street. But as it was, the bus survived and he died. Sad thing. But God used that to teach me something. Our eternal life is only through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Only through Jesus Christ. And if you think you're going to make yourself live forever by what you do to this, forget it.
Amen.
You may prolong the sentence. Do you know what it reminds me of? These people that go on health food diets and do all the exercise. You know, Paul said physical exercise profiteth little. Paul was a man after my own heart. Physical exercise profiteth little. But godliness profiteth unto all good things, right? But he had the right idea. These people remind me of a guy on death row. And he's sentenced to death. And he's not happy with it. Huh? So what he does is he appeals. He's constantly appealing the courts, trying to get the date put back. Put back, put back, put back. But you know what? If he put it back 100 years, he's still going to die. Huh? You are going to die. That's one thing you can count on. There's not a person in this tent that one day isn't going to die. Physically. Unless Jesus Christ comes beforehand. But it's still back to Jesus then, isn't it? So, if this body is going to die, why are we so concerned with it? I think what we ought to be concerned with is the one we got waiting for us and how to hook up with it.
Amen.
And how to stay with the Father in the meantime.
Amen.
So that you can hook up with it. Amen.
Amen?
And then if some of us go a little sooner than others, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
It's like Dan out there. Smoke your cigarette, Dan. I'll join you. We'll both get there faster. Hallelujah. Let the others stay behind. People think weird. Oh, well, Brother Euchler, you can't mean it. Dan, he smokes a cigarette. That's a sin.
Thinking someone is a sinner and you're not is a sin.
Amen.
It's a greater sin.
Amen.
It's a greater sin. Do you think God cares for 1 minute whether or not he smokes that cigarette or not? Not one bit. There's nothing in the Bible that says he cares a bit about it. In fact, he says it's not what goeth into the mouth that defileth the body, but that which cometh out from the heart.
Amen.
Because it's murder and envy and strife and hatred that comes out of the heart. That's what defiles the body. And that, guess what? It's not this body that defiles anyway. It's the new one. It's the new wineskin. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? Huh? Well, why do you think people come up with this kind of garbage?
Oh, I had a guy come in my house one time and say, oh, you know, if you eat chocolate cake, you're going to go to hell.
Stupid. Stupid.
Somebody said one time, if you drink coffee, it's got caffeine in it, you're going to go to hell.
Stupid. Stupid.
Of course, I know what I knew then. I was the smart aleck, so I said, the Pope blessed it. Pope said it was the devil's brew and it was too good to let the devil keep, so he baptized it. Now we can all drink it. That's a true story, by the way. Did you know that? Did you know that? Pope, this century back, got him a cup of coffee, thought it was so good, couldn't let the devil keep it, so he took the coffee out and baptized it and said, from now on we can drink it. Isn't that the most, isn't that the most ridiculous stuff you ever hear of? What people do in the name of religion? Coffee. Let's take a look at coffee. What is stronger? What is more powerful? Coffee or Jesus?
Jesus.
That's the end of the argument. Huh? That's the end of the argument. If you say, for instance, Tim, if you drink a cup of coffee, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, then you're telling, then I'd be telling you, Tim, or whoever would tell you that, would be telling you, oh, they find some way to screw around with it. They'd be telling you that Jesus' blood sacrifice was not sufficient for coffee. Amen. It was good, and it is good, and will be good, and shall be good, and ever will be good. God gave me a vision one time. I'll never forget that vision. He took me into the holiest of holies in heaven and showed me the blood on the altar. And guess what? It's alive. Even now, it has just as much power today to forgive sin as it did 2,000 years ago, as it did with Abraham also. Because Abraham trusted in the same sacrifice before it ever came. And not only that, so did Adam.
Amen.
Where do you think Adam got his clothes? From the sacrifice God showed him. And you know what those clothes represented? Jesus.
Amen.
Adam tried to hide himself in a fig leaf. I hope he was better built than I am. I'd look pretty funny in a fig leaf. Maybe he looked good. Who knows? But he's hiding out there in the bushes, and God says, Adam, where are you? Don't you think God saw those two people hiding over there? He saw them over there. He just didn't know who they were. He didn't recognize them. They'd lost their clothes. They lost the righteousness. I'm right here. What are you doing there naked? You ate that fruit, didn't you? Yeah, it was that woman's fault. You gave her to me. It's really your fault, God. Man's been blaming God for his wife ever since, hasn't he? Huh? Every time I screw up because of my wife, I tell God it's her fault. And then I say, well, it's actually your fault, God. You made me marry her. It doesn't get me any further than it did Adam. Not a bit. Adam was responsible to listen to God, and I am too. And I can't blame my wife for anything I do wrong. Amen? I can only blame myself. Can't even blame the devil. I can't even blame the devil because the devil's a defeated enemy. He ain't got nothing. He's defeated. All he has is lies, smoke screens, and a bunch of trickery. The real power is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You got a good song for me, son?